So pleased to have with us now Jason Cole from YahooSports.com, who covered Super Bowl 46, longtime friend and one of the top football writers in the country. Jason, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. How you doing, Vic?
All right. Great game, huh?
Oh, yeah. Dramatic. I mean, I will say this. It didn't have the kind of explosive plays that were kind of akin to in a lot of Super Bowls. But, you know, the Manningham catch was so spectacular at the end. And, you know, the action in the last few minutes that I think was really captivating.
And I think you just said that with regard to the fact that there weren't as many explosive plays in it spoke probably to the way the defense has performed in a piece that you wrote for YahooSports.com that I highly recommend people go check out regarded the play of the Giants secondary, particularly in the last quarter and a half.
Yeah, they held Brady to 7 of 18 for 75 yards over that last quarter and a half. And, you know, that was after Brady had completed 16 straight passes, got two touchdowns, got, you know, New England in command of that game with that 17-9 lead. And you thought, excuse me, that coming out after that touchdown, and, you know, even though they gave up the field goal to make it 17-12, that he's going to get down the field, get them in position to score at least another field goal. They stopped him right away, and then they continued to stop him as it just took time for Eli Manning and the Giants offense to get something going. You know, they waited till right at the very end, but they finally did make it happen.
And I think it's a lot easier to have success in the secondary when your pass rush is doing the job that the Giants pass rush did.
Well, yeah, but I will say this. Brady did a pretty nice job of getting away from some things. And I will add on this, I was at the December 4th game when Green Bay went to the New York Giants. And I thought, you know, Green Bay put up 38 points in that game, and Aaron Rodgers basically passed at will. And that was that was part of a stretch of four straight games in which they gave up 144 points on defense. So we talk about how great their pass rush was, but you know, late in the season, they were not playing particularly good defense. Over the last six games, they really kicked it in. They only allowed 84 points over those six games. And I think the play of that secondary and how much work they did away from the field, they went and met, you know, three and four times a week, just the guys, the cornerbacks and safeties, to really get on the same page on their coverage.
Jason, let's talk about legacies, because a couple of big ones were much talked about before this game and are going to be the subject of a lot of conversation, I'm sure, in the aftermath. And we'll start with Eli Manning, what this win means to him, what being MVP of this game means to him, and just the whole idea that, you know, two Super Bowl victories and two tries, and that's, he's the Manning brother who did that. The other Manning brother, of course, Peyton, did not do that. So where do we put Eli Manning? How big is this win for him from the legacy?
Well, I think we're talking about, he's basically, assuming he has a pretty decent career the rest of the way, I mean, he's now Hall of Fame status. I mean, these two wins, and I mean, that throw to Manningham in the fourth quarter is as great a throw as you're going to see in the Super Bowl as anyone has ever made. I mean, it's up there with Roethlisberger's touchdown throw to Santonio Holmes. It's up there with, you know, Bradshaw to Swan. I mean, that's as memorable a play, again, as you will ever see. And to make that on that kind of stage and to have that kind of year where you break the, you know, fourth quarter touchdown record in fourth quarters, excuse me, breaking Johnny Unitas and your brother's record that they co-held. I mean, all the things that he did along the way and how he kept them in this season, even when their defense faltered so much. This was a remarkable season and part of a remarkable growth. And look, the point of this whole exercise is to win championships. And I know that if you put it on a statistical basis, Peyton is still superior to Eli. But that second Super Bowl win goes a long way towards mitigating the statistical advantage his brother may have. I mean, I would still take Peyton over Eli, but it's a whole lot closer than it was going into this season.
And it's interesting because in that previous Super Bowl of 4 years ago, he makes the unbelievable connection with David Tyree, although most of the fascination of that play is Tyree holding the ball against his helmet as he's falling down, and we know that story. But it was also the Eli escape from sack to make the throw. This one wasn't quite as dramatic in terms of him getting free to make a throw, but he still had to evade some pressure and put the ball, as you say, the only place that Mario Manningham could catch it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's dropping a ball in a bucket from 38 yards out. in a game in which you haven't done that all game. I think they threw two deep balls the entire game. I mean, they really got nothing going on deep stuff in this game, and he was right on the money in a critical situation. Again, you've got Eli as the thrower of two of the most memorable plays in Super Bowl history. That's an amazing feat.
It's quite a legacy. We're visiting with Jason Cole of YahooSports.com. He covered Super Bowl 46 last night for that website. You check out all his great work there. And talking about legacies as we continue on with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Tom Brady's legacy in losing this Super Bowl, even though he's got the three wins, now this is back-to-back Super Bowl losses for Brady. How does this impact his place in NFL history, Jason?
Well, I mean, I think that I think that instead of talking about him in the same breath with with Joe Montana or Johnny Unitas, and that he had that chance.
Terry Bradshaw, four Super Bowls, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not there, and that's just not – he's not that historical, mythic figure that those two guys are. He's still a great player. I mean, is he still – he's still among the top half dozen, maybe eight quarterbacks of all time, but he had this opportunity to raise himself up into that upper two, and I really think it's – there's really an upper two in my mind. There's the pre-70s, Unitas, who had the great championships and the mythic figure, sort of the John Wayne of football, who brought football into the American consciousness. I mean, never mind Otto Graham. I know a lot of people talk about him, but Unitas was really that guy who was the poster boy for making the transition in football, becoming America's number one sport. And then there's the precision and dynamic play and guts in comeback situations and difficult situations that Joe Montana had, and basically the father of the modern passing game. And they both had records, and they both won multiple championships, all those kinds of things. And Brady could have been up there with those guys. And look, he's still great. And if I had third pick out of those three and I end up with Brady, I feel pretty good. But it's not quite the same as the other two.
And to as you said, still great, and had a great season to get the Patriots in position to ultimately reach the Super Bowl. But when you look at him, he did not have a particularly great effect. By his own account, he stunk in the AFC Championship game against Baltimore. And he played he had moments where he did Brady-like things and got really hot and made a lot of consecutive completions. We know all that in the Super Bowl. But all in all, how would you analyze the game he played when, we're so used to him being on that stage and doing wonderful things all the way through? What might have been missing, or was it just chalk it up to the Giants' defense?
Well, I think their longest game was, 21 yards?
Yeah.
And they have no explosion in that offense right now, especially with Gronkowski, playing okay, not great. Chad Ochocinco had the longest reception. Now, they had an opportunity at the end to get the ball to Wes Welker on that pass down the seam. And, yeah, Welker got his hands on it and he jumped, but the pass was just slightly off. And so some of that goes on Brady and some of it goes on Welker. I put most of it on Brady because that was a wide-open throw that you've got to hit. And he had a chance to hit Deion Branch on the very next play. And that would have been a drive that either would have solidified the game altogether, or put him in chance to really put a lot of pressure under the Giants, and they weren't able to do it at that moment. And that's on Brady. He missed those two throws. And look, he was great at times. 16 straight completions, two consecutive scoring drives. But his legacy is built on the fourth quarter. And in this fourth quarter, he did not make the plays. Eli Manning did. So on this day, he wasn't the better quarterback, and that's how you have to view it.
Might be early to do this, but we always do it after a Super Bowl, is to look ahead to the futures of some key people. Mario Manningham, for one, is scheduled to become a free agent. Of course, the Giants can change that before that time actually arrives. But his free agency potential and what this game might mean to him in that regard.
Well, I think he's got himself a chance to make some, you know, some pretty good money. He's not going to be a starter with the Giants, not with Nixon Cruz playing the way that they are. So, I mean, if he wants to be a starter and make some serious money, he's going to have to leave the Giants. I think there's going to be an upper limit that they're going to pay for him. You know, it's not so much that they can't afford him because they've got a number of guys who are on relatively cheap contracts, but whatever his baseline is has a huge impact on Cruz and Nix. And, you know, you basically got to take whatever Manningham's deal is and multiply that for those two guys when they come up. And I know that Cruz has got 3 years before his deal comes up, but you have to factor that in. They also have Jason Pierre-Paul and a bunch of other guys. I mean, there are going to be some expensive players who come up on the Giants here in the next few years, which has a huge effect on Manningham.
Yeah, I would think so. O.C. Umanura's future is another one that's in question.
I think that there's enough bitterness there that I think the Giants would keep the door open for O.C. coming back at a reasonable price. But I think that O.C. has to go see what the market is. I mean, you know, maybe they franchise him, but I doubt it. You know, to do that to a backup defensive end. And again, remember the ripple effect that that's going to have with Tuck coming up and with excuse me, and you know, Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul is going to make, if this is any kind of indication, he's going to make an outrageous amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, just like
special player.
Yeah, like, you know, take DeMarcus Ware's contract and add another step on top of that.
Yeah.
And now I know that's 2 years away or 3 years away, but those years get here pretty fast, and you're going to want to buy him out early. You're going to want to get something done with him earlier than later.
Jason, great stuff. Thank you for taking the time, and we look forward to visiting with you again down the line.
Anytime. Take care.
He is Jason Cole from YahooSports.com, covered Super Bowl 46, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.